Welcome to the Doggy Dojo. I'm your host, Susan Light, a Los Angeles-based dog trainer and behavior consultant on a quest to become worthy of the title Sensei of the Doggy Dojo. Today we're talking about kids and dogs. I am certainly happy for everyone hearing this and thinking, there's nothing to talk about because all of your kids and dogs have gotten along really easily. That's great. But it certainly doesn't always go smoothly. Assuming that dogs are going to love children and be great with them is downright dangerous. The best thing you can do is realize that dogs are animals, unpredictable, and hey, if they've gone their entire life and never met a kid, you should be doing some prep work to make sure you and your child are safe. Today, I'm talking to an expert who's devoted her practice to helping parents navigate this situation. She's a certified dog trainer and the founder of Dog Meets Baby. She lives in beautiful San Francisco with her six-year-old twins and a yellow Labrador retriever named Lola. She graduated with honors from the prestigious Academy for Dog Trainers, which has been called the Harvard of dog training. Lola's predatory reaction to her newborn twins was one of the main reasons she started Dog Meets Baby. She is passionate about helping parents of young children and dogs like herself want real tips and solutions to help keep everyone safe. She wants parents to have an action plan when they bring their baby home and know what to do when their baby becomes mobile. Please welcome Dominica Conosalala Paro. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm super excited to talk about this. I think it's really important, and I think that people probably aren't aware that it can be such an issue having dogs and kids coexisting. So I think maybe people don't put a lot of thought into it unless there's a problem. So I'm here to tell people that there are trainers who specialize entirely in helping kids and dogs safely coexist. Tell us why this became your specialty.
Yes, I'd love that. I've been training dogs for a long time, since 2008. And then I had my kids 7 years ago. I have twins. And when I brought my kids home from the hospital, my dog, a yellow lab, she was five, very well trained, very well prepared. She had a very scary predator reaction that I absolutely did not expect. And everything ended well because I had a plan for the introduction. I was still traumatized. I still have a hard time talking about it sometimes, even now, 7 years later. But what I realized is that I knew what to do, and many parents probably wouldn't know what to do in this situation, and they would panic or try to rehome the dog or be really traumatized but wouldn't know what to do. So that's how it started.
Wow. So that's crazy. And I love that you mentioned that she's a lab, because I know I grew up with a lot of black labs, and they have a great reputation for just loving kids and being super tolerant. Labs, golden retrievers, mm-hmm. you know, these yes. ideas that these are quote unquote family dogs. So does breed have an effect on a dog's reaction to kids, or not as much as we think?
Not as much as we think. There are, of course, certain things that you can expect. Like, it's very anecdotal. I definitely don't want people to think much about it, but I sometimes tell people about the breeds that I often work with. When people reach out to me when they have a newborn and they have a Husky and Malamute, then it's almost always about a predatory reaction. So yes, the breed is not something that you should ignore, but it's not that the breed determines the reaction.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. So what are some of the issues people should be aware of if they have kids and dogs that are going to coexist in the same place?
I think the first myth is that people assume what you mentioned, that dogs love children. All dogs love children, which is so wrong. It's not true. And I'm always surprised when I hear that. And I think it's kind of normal that many dogs are unsure about them. Even if you prepare your dog well and you practice with a doll and you play sounds and you have your dog around children, very few people can have a dog around a newborn before they have an actual newborn. So it's very normal that when you bring that little baby to your house, your dog is going to be surprised or scared or unsure or confused, even if the dog is prepared. Of course, the more the dog is prepared and trained, the faster they will acclimate. But I think it would be almost strange if the dog would be right away, every single dog, like, I love that kid. While they hate other people, right? Like, people cannot have strangers over, or they cannot have visitors over, but somehow a dog should always accept their child. So it's not like that. And it is a normal reaction for dogs to be unsure at first. Then the other one that I often see or hear about is that dogs will get used to hitting or pulling. It's something that they should
tolerate.
Yes. Yeah. And accept over time, which is so wrong, because over time, if you let the child hit your dog, or which is normal, kids will do it, little kids will do it. But if you will allow that, then what can happen is that the dog is going to be more and more scared of that child, and probably will go from being tolerant to not being so tolerant, and being louder about it, growling, snapping, or biting.
Yeah, which is also normal behavior for their species in those situations. I think what 100%. I'm hearing is what's normal for babies and kids and what's normal for dogs doesn't necessarily fit well together, which might be a problem.
Yes. I mean, my kids are now 7, and we have a 1-year-old dog and a 12-year-old, and it's very different. It's actually great, and it's fun. And I think that my dog benefits a lot, the puppy, from having children, 7-year-old kids. I think it's actually amazing, because they still have a lot of energy. They can follow rules. They understand what's safe, what's unsafe. And there's no way I can run that much. Like, we went for a walk tonight, and my kids were just running all the time and calling her, and she just had so much fun with them.
Yeah. So do you think it's easier to have kids that are a little bit older and then get a puppy than it is to have a baby when you already have a dog? If you were planning it and could make the choice.
Many people reach out and ask me what they should do, or is there a best age or child's age or dog's age to get a dog, to have a baby? I think you can make everything work if you have the resources, if you are realistic about this, if you can outsource some things. When you have a newborn and you get a puppy, it's going to be really tough. And that's what most people admit. And some regret that decision. Some say it's much better now, but the first year was really rough. But if that's your dream, if you always wanted to have a baby and a puppy, and it's really important to you, well, I think it's okay to do it, but just know it's going to be very hard and plan for it.
Yeah.
It is definitely much easier to have older kids. And I can say, because we had a dog and I had twins, so that was more work, and my dog was 5 and she still had a lot of energy at that time, but I had a dog walker, a group dog walker. I lived in San Francisco at that time, and she was going to the beach every day, and she still had a great life, and we were trying to take her on walks with us as well. Of course, it was different, but we still tried to include her a little bit, and then if we couldn't, or we knew we could not offer her as much as we did before, that's why she had a full-time dog walker. But once my kids turned 2.5 and we moved to a house, which was, of course, an important part here, an important piece, I started having dogs at my house for board and train. I was very selective. It's not that I was taking any dog. Those dogs were my clients' dogs. Those were the dogs that I knew really well, and they were not protective of anything. And they were mostly coming for basic obedience. And it was a great experience to see how my kids were around them. And at first, it was a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. It was actually not that much fun. Yes, we have some... Luckily, my daughter was always really into training. So I have those really cute videos of a toddler training dogs. And she was really good at this. And she was interested in doing this. My son, not so much. But it was a lot of management. And it's not that I could have them all run together. No, I had gates, many gates, a good system, who can be confined, who can be loose. But once my kids turned four, it really became fun because they were able to follow their roles. They were higher, which is really important. They were face not was higher than the dog's head. They were more
that's
stable.
That's an interesting point.
Yes, they were more stable on their feet. So I was not worried that a dog will knock them over. They were able to play fetch with the dog. They could understand that we don't take things out of the dog's mouth. The dogs, I could tell them how to practice training with the dogs, or we could do it together. And then the dogs were listening to them. So it was just, it was actually fun. It started becoming more and more fun. I still was not quite ready to have my own dog because it's a little bit different when you have clients' dogs and they go home. And as I said, I was choosing dogs that were a good match. But I could see it was a good, it was also a great experience for me because I could see that my daughter was really, really into it. And I could tell that she, just to give you an example, she was coming home and let's say it was 7 o'clock and she was still grabbing a ball to play fetch with a dog, even if she was tired. I don't know, maybe she wasn't tired, but it was like just her, it was what she wanted to do. She was going outside in the backyard and throwing the ball for 30 minutes and I had to call her like, okay, I think the dog is tired. It's time to,
move on,
take a bath. So it was just like, I could see that she was really the kind of person that if I get a, or child, that if I get a puppy, she will be really into it. And yes, I was right. So when we got a dog, when we got a puppy, she was, they were 6 and a half. And I have to tell you, it's been so easy because of how involved she is, how much they exercise the dog. Of course, I was in charge of potty training and crate training and I'm the chief of training. But but the rest, I really don't have to do anything. Like she can be, she can feed the dog. I'm not worried about this. That the dog, she's also, our dog is not protective of food, but I also made sure that we don't trigger that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like there are definitely things that we want to teach our kids about dogs to keep them safe. And there are things we want to teach our dogs about kids to keep them safe. And I want to come back and touch on both of those. But you mentioned management, which I really want to make sure we mention. Mm-hmm. So management, so important to keep everybody safe. So while we're going to be teaching our kids and dogs these things, I love that you mentioned like they're not just running around loose in the house, everybody together. So what specific management rules do you tend to put in place to keep everybody safe?
I love gates. I love gates. I have many gates. I always look for the perfect gate. I think that should be on the
baby registry.
Yes.
Why not?
Yes. That's where it should be. Because the sooner you introduce the gate to your dog, the better later. It's some dogs really struggle with it, but if you start without the baby, it's going to be easier than if you put it up once the dog really wants to be with you and really doesn't like the baby. I like the long gates. I have to say that they're very practical and you can use them. You can use a long gate as a playpen. You can use a long gate as an exercise pen. You can use it to put across the room. And this way your dog can be on their favorite couch while you play with the child on the other side. And your dog doesn't feel like they are now kicked out of the, of the living room.
Whatever your household looks like, Dominica has resources for you. Some of them are free, like her website, dogmeetsbaby.expert, and her Instagram account, @dogmeets_baby. She also has courses that can get you everything you need. I've put links for you in the show notes.
The way I used it is that as my kids got older, they were having many projects everywhere. So my dog really liked them when they were, I mean, by liked them, I mean that my dog was seeking their company. She felt very safe around them and she really wanted to be very close to them, but she's a 60-pound dog. And if she is near them and they have a Lego structure, that means that she might destroy it. Whether, you know, with her paw or her tail or the way she moves. So they didn't want her to be there. So what I was doing, I was putting the gate around their Lego structures. Or I was creating some sort of an office. We were calling it an office. And they were inside that long gate, yes, while the dogs, yes, were on the outside. So it and many kids, as they get older, and even some younger kids, they don't really want the dog to be following them and licking them and jumping on them or just staying too close. And what happens is a lot of times the kids are asking for that and the parents ignore it. And then at some point, the child may get, I don't want to say violent, but they will push the dog away because they've been asking for that space. With tethers, I would be cautious with children. I do recommend them if the dog is used to it when the kids are not mobile. But once the child is mobile, it's actually a risk because the dog is stuck there. And many dogs might have a reaction because they cannot fight, so they choose to fight. So I do not recommend tethering dogs around young children because that can trigger a reaction.
Great point. Yep, that makes perfect sense. But what do we want to start teaching our kids as soon as we can about how to interact with these dogs?
I always tell parents that they really need to start with themselves. And I always admit that that was really difficult for me and my husband. And it took us a few months to really remember that. And we were reminding ourselves, you're hugging Lola in front of them again. You're kissing her. You just approached her while she was sleeping on her dog bed. It takes time. It takes time. It's not something that will happen overnight, but it's really important that in front of the children, we are on our best behavior and we really show them what we really want them to do.
Such a good point. Well, being a parent's hard.
It is hard. It's very rewarding, but it is definitely very hard. Yes. Yeah. So the modeling is very important. And instead of kissing the dog, and I always tell the parents that they can kiss the dog and hug the dog when the kid is asleep. So it doesn't mean that they cannot do all those things, but just not to do them in front of the child. But we can teach them that waving is okay, or blowing kisses is okay, or air hugging is okay. There are many ways how we can interact without being very physical. And I think that's what I really want parents to understand, or caregivers, that it's being physical with the dog in front of the child, that's what's causing many, many problems.
Yeah. Absolutely. And people think that they do it and it's fine and the dog tolerates it, but your kid doing it's totally different. Young kids don't have a lot of control over their motor skills. So they're patting the dog. They think they're patting the dog, but they're smacking the dog. And their babies are so grabby. You know, they want to just grab everything. Anybody that's ever had their hair grabbed by a baby, you don't want to put your dog in that position.
Yeah, and it really doesn't take many repetitions for a dog to be scared of a child. For some dogs, you know, the single event learning, it can just be one scary situation. Absolutely. And the dog is terrified of children.
Yeah, so we're modeling, you know, not approaching a sleeping dog, not kissing or hugging the dog. I'm assuming not approaching a dog while they're eating or they have a chew or a toy is something we want to teach them?
Well, when it comes to food, I really think that that should be always planned. I don't recommend that the food is just around in the living room or in the kitchen and the child and the dog have access to it. Kibble is a choking hazard and it's just not really safe to have it around. I know that some people might think their dog is fine, but they might not be okay with the child being near their dish. So it's best to have it somewhere else or have it feed the dog outside or have a dog zone where you feed your dog. It's important to know that we have to do things like we have to leash up the dog, we have to feed the dog, that the child will see. So it's not that we should avoid the dog while the child is around us. I really don't want people to be freaked out by this. Yes, it's even interacting with the dog, like petting the dog, is okay. And it's just making sure that we don't excessively touch the dog, pet the dog, hug the dog, kiss the dog, or certain things that we don't do at all, like kissing or hugging in front of the child. But kids can understand that I leash up the dog and you can bring me the leash. Do you want to help mommy? Do you want to get Lola's leash? Mommy will leash up Lola, right? Yeah. So it's just like really important that we teach them, you do this, I do this.
Yeah. And then what kinds of things can we focus on? Top three skills that will help a dog cope with having kids.
Okay. And that's, I like how you approach it, top three, because what I tell parents is I want you to really choose three cues, right? Let's say leave it, go to bed, stay. Yeah. Right? That's what you really need. I don't want the parent to tell me, yes, my dog knows 15 behaviors. Well, sort of, right? Like he doesn't always come. Well, he can wait 5 seconds. He will leave it inside the house, but not outside. Like, that's not what I want their parents to have. I really want them to choose three cues, train them really well, and they will be okay.
Mm.
And the most common ones are, for some people, it can be something different, but I think really that go to bed or go to crate or go to couch, that's a very good one for the dog to have. The stay or the wait is a really useful one. And with kids, leave it is definitely a good one to have to train.
Because when you said, you know, kibble could choke the kids' toys can choke the dog. We have a double choking hazard.
Well, they could, or I would say it's the pacifiers, really. It's not so much the toys. It's really the pacifiers that, I have a list and I talk to many veterinarians and the things that are there are certain things that are, of course, toxic, like grapes or raisins, but the things that they see most often, it's the pacifiers that can get stuck. But there is also a lot of with the pumping equipment that what the dogs like, anything with milk. And another one, they can eat baby socks too. Like there is a lot that dogs can go for. The toys, it's more that they want to play with them and they can destroy them or like it will be slobber all over them. But it's not so much that they can
choke on them.
They can, of course, some dogs may decide that they will eat something and then it's a problem, but it's the corn cob. It's probably the number one that people mention
for obstruction.
I think that's, the obstruction. And that's because the kids, that one is a tough one because with kids, the kids might place it somewhere and then the dog will eat it. So this and the pacifiers, I think, are the two ones that people often mention.
Yeah. So trying to keep everybody safe in the house is a tough job. It's a lot to have. I mean, it feels like this American dream, this like, 2.5 kids and a dog. But boy, it sounds like a lot of work for mom and dad.
It is a lot. lot of work. It is a lot of work. That's why I love the kids. I really don't. I really think that I don't know how people do it without kids. That this is how I feel. Like
I agree with you.
I'm like, but how? Like, why? Like, it's already hard, right? Like, yeah. I need. This is the gate is also for my mental health. It's not just for the kid and for the dog to stay safe. I don't want to be vigilant 24/7.
You can't.
And keep an eye on both, right? Like,
you
like,
can't.
Like, who's going to approach whom?
Yeah.
And who's going to hit whom? And this is just, you're exhausted as a parent of young kids. And that's what many people share. I have a big social media account and many parents share it. And I have a post that says, you're not cruel for having a gate. Because that's what many parents hear from relatives or from friends. There is still, in some places, I guess it's not that many, luckily, there is this myth that they should be together.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. All the time, and it's good for them. Well, it's definitely not good for the parent, because it's just easier if you have some time when it's just the child, and or it's just the dog.
Absolutely. Well, I know you have so many more tips and so much more information. We're out of time, but I do want to give you a chance to tell people about the resources that you have for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're struggling with your kids and your dogs, or if you have a kid and you want to get a dog, or you have a dog and you want to have kids, you've got the resources. What ways do you have that people can learn from you?
Mm-hmm. I think the best one, if people are expecting or they will be adopting, and especially an infant or a newborn, is the preparation checklist. It's a list that gives you, that covers all the things that it's good to focus on. And I always tell parents that there will be things that you will be able to check off right away. And then there will be some things where you may need to spend more time training or preparing, and some things that you probably never thought about. So this is where you can start. If you have, and then I have courses. One is a preparation course that focuses on preparation and training, and the other is the first meeting course, and that one is all about the introduction. It's a short course. I have more freebies. Another one is for parents of toddlers. It's a toddlers and dogs guide. And I focus a lot on petting in that guide because I know that many parents really have many questions about this, how to do it, when to do it, what's right, what's wrong. So yes, it's covered there. And now I have a new course. It's a toddler course, but soon we are going to have, it's a really big course that covers everything from pre-mobile baby, so how to prepare your dog for a mobile baby, to preschooler. So we decided that we're going to have three smaller courses. So if someone doesn't want to get this big course, then they can just focus on the pre-mobile phase or mobile phase. And another one, which is something that I love to do, is the body language. And body language is really for everyone.
I totally agree.
Have kids or not, but I only analyze videos of children and dogs, and these are small kids. I focus a lot, so many people can relate to this because they can see a one-year-old or 18-month-old or a 7-month-old interacting with a dog the way their child probably would interact, and I talk about the body language. So those videos are with my analysis, and I also tell them what I would do in this situation. So it's not just watch it and learn, but also this is how I would approach the situation if this was my child.
Yeah.
Or my dog.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's a lot of great resources for people. And I will be linking links to everything in the show notes. So if people want to find you, it'll be easy. And thank you so much for coming on and talking to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for stopping by the dojo this week. This is your aspiring sensei, Susan Light, signing off. You can find me at doggydojopodcast.com or I'm Susan Light LA on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook. The music was written by Mac Light. You can find him at maclightsongwriter.com. If you like the show, you can support it by subscribing, sharing it with your friends, rating it, and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts. Just a reminder, this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not constitute advice or professional services by either the host or any of the guests. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode of the Doggy Dojo.